ahead and aid us with us. Father in heaven, we come before you, and immediately we are aware that we are not worthy to be in this place at this time. We pray, Lord, though, that you will lift up our heads. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we may know your presence here, that we may benefit not only within ourselves, but for those with whom we have contact, that this service of remembrance will lift us all up and strengthen us and help us in our resolves to increase our fellowship with you and with each other. Please bless each of us as we need. In Jesus we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
And of course the memorial service is a time of challenge as well. So our first hymn is 372 from the Green Book. It's also 123 in Praise the Lord. If you haven't got a green hymn book, it might just as well look around because you're going to need it later. You may need to share. 372 or 123. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers? Other lives to bring. And then we'll have a prayer after this. Lord, it is true that we are indeed yours. And this is not because of anything which we bring, for we come before you empty-handed, Lord. It is because of your great love for us that you have chosen us. You've chosen us from many walks of life, from all sorts of situations. And you have called us to be your children. And as we look around and as we have been considering, we think of all your other children across the world, and we pray that you will be with them on this day of remembering Jesus. We pray that you will always be with us, as you have promised. We pray that you will always be the strength in the fight. For as we receive your grace, we are instantly aware that it is up to us to respond to it. And we pray that as we break bread together, as we think, as we listen to John's words of encouragement there, that we may consider what is our response to this great gift that you've poured out. Lord Jesus, we thank you that it is you who are present with us, that you are the strength, the inspiration, you are the reason, and you are the future for us. But Lord, we know that we continue to walk in human ways, and we pray that we will never forsake you, because we know that wherever we are, whatever is happening in our life, there is nowhere to go where you are not there waiting for us to lift us up once more. And so we pray that you will be that great strength to us day by day. But Lord, life is not complete here. We know that at the end of our mortal lives we will die, and were it not for the hope of the resurrection, the hope of the coming of Jesus, the hope of eternal life in all its glory, to serve you as we ought, that this life would have no purpose. So Lord, we thank you for giving us that purpose. We pray that you will be with us as we gather our thoughts around your great love for us. Please be with each of us as we need, and bless us, each one, and bless all those who call on your name. In Jesus we ask this. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together again from phase number 70. We'll sing it right the way through twice. Jubilate, everybody. Serve the Lord in all your ways and come before his presence singing. Enter now his courts with praise. Absolutely wonderful how things come together in undesigned ways. So we choose the date for the conference, we choose the theme, we find out who's going to present the various parts, and then last of all it seems that we poke out what the readings for the day are going to be. And wonder of wonders, today it's Psalm 103. It couldn't be more appropriate, some of the things we've been talking about, that God's wonderful grace in forgiving us. Tom, will you read that for us, please?
Psalm 103 of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
We remain seated at this point, but I'll ask Dave, please, will you come forward and lead our welfare prayer for us, please? My dear brothers and sisters, we have a number of requests. So I'll run through them and we'll have a welfare prayer. The first one is the sister in Riga, Sister Kusha in Riga, has just given birth to a child with many problems. So, a young mother who is in need of our prayers. The second one is Sister Enid Hall of Port Antonio, Jamaica. She has had a stroke about 9 days ago and is not able to talk, or she is not even able to move her legs. The third one is Sister Zoe Dean, who is undergoing chemotherapy for cancer at present. She has been very, very poorly. She has had a scan this week and the results are due in March. Can we pray that her health will improve and that God will strengthen her and her husband Roy at this difficult time? We also pray for Irma, who should have been with us this weekend and wasn't able to come due to her passport circumstances. And finally, we've been asked to pray for the persecuted church, for the refugees and for their families. So let us bow our heads, my dear brothers and sisters, and think of all our sisters, and finally for the church as a whole, the persecuted church, the refugees and their families. Gracious and almighty God, our loving Father in heaven, through the name of Jesus,
the great comforter on which we focus our minds this morning. We focus our minds on the author and finisher of our faith. We focus our minds on the altogether lovely that we have been reminded of. We focus our minds on his death and his resurrection. He was able to look forward and bear the terrible pain and anguish by that joy that was set before him. And as we think of all our dear sisters we have spoken about, we know, Heavenly Father, that you are a God of help, able to provide that solace and that comfort of mind. Be with each one of our sisters. Help them in their individual circumstances. Irma's disappointment, our sister with the cancer, the one who is so difficult with her body, with her legs. And our sisters indeed who have trials, wherever they may be, we pray that you will help them, care for them, sustain them, and keep that vision bright of the future when our Lord, the great healer, the great physician, shall come. And we think of that great day when a glance and a look would be that sign of healing. And we picture that woman who had the issue, and we think of her and just that touch on the hem of the garment. And we think, Heavenly Father, that look and that touch may be available for our dear sisters that we have heard about this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, if Christ came, we know that that touch would be there. But in the meantime, may our prayers be fervent and earnest in this direction. And you will pray for them and for the whole ecclesias and those of the church, those who are persecuted, the refugees, their families, and throughout the world, those who don't enjoy the privileges that we enjoy in this country, the food, the clothes, and the things that, Heavenly Father, we sometimes take for granted. Help us to see a need, Heavenly Father, and help us to satisfy that need in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give us grace, give us strength, and give us the wherewithal to see that need and to help our dear brethren and sisters in whatever way we can. Bless us to the end when the righteous one shall come and we will be gathered together to him. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Our next hymn is 380. It is a newish hymn. It's one which I think captures so much of the beauty of the union and the fellowship which we have for Jesus. No reason for despair, since Jesus overcame. The hope of glory, Christ in you.
Thank you.
so need encouragement, don't we? It's so important. And I know, without knowing precisely what John's going to be saying there, that his words will be all encouragement. John.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Hardly encouraging words so far, but how many of us from time to time feel that way? Worthless. Encouraged to feel that way by the scientist's suggestion that we are merely a cosmic accident. Or by our favourite author Richard Dawkins' proclamation, we are simply survival machines programmed to perpetuate ourselves. If not ourselves, there are others who want God, who are discouraged or not encouraged. We must bear that in mind as we move about the world on our daily affairs. Some of us can be made to feel worthless by our own people. It's the system, perhaps, that's the problem. Now for words of encouragement, against the background of the Holy Christ, who, for unfathomable reason, chose to utter those opening words on the cross. Perhaps he had in mind those of us that will be encouraged by knowing that in our feeling of forsakenness, should it arise, he was not too righteous to forget such a need, but presented it from the cross itself. In the opening chapter of the Scriptures of Truth, we read, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." That is the crucible out of which, through all life's trials, we are to be brought to eternal life, a life with Christ, seeing God, for blessed are the faithful hearts, they shall see God. But we have a journey to make. Let's not then forget that our destiny is once again to reflect the image and likeness of God. And if we remain faithful, that destiny is assured for each and every one of us. We are wonderfully made. And we are deeply fallen. So let us look at a passage concerning the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. It's our responsibility to discharge this ministry to each and every contact. And lest we should wonder how we can do it, why we should do it, how far we must put our other life on hold while we try to do it, the Apostle wisely reminds us in the concluding verse of that chapter, "For he that is God hath made him that is Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Wonderfully made, deeply fallen. But the scriptures delight to tell us in 99% of their content that we are fully forgiven and are being restored to the image of God, to the likeness of God. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30, or as they say, verse 29 for connection. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Steve has referred to the grace which in abundance God bestows upon us and reminded us of our responsibility in faith to accept it and discharge the responsibility it brings. And I know that one of his special principles is that pictured by the grace of God approaching us, and the response of our faith meeting that grace and bridging the gap. The ministry of reconciliation . The apostle continues, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that forgiveness, as we considered yesterday, is not an instant but a processional thing. It takes time. Yes, there are easy things that we can forgive quite quickly, but deeply hurting things take longer. And it is of the bounty and generosity of the Holy God and His Son that for those who strive to forgive, to serve in any other way, there will be patience. For these things are not incidents but dispositions. We find it easier to forgive if our disposition has been developed into a disposition, so that we are ready to forgive for whatever the service may be. And God and the Lord Jesus have made it abundantly clear that if we are developing such a disposition, if we are practicing, if we are determined to try to succeed, their patience is inexhaustible. They know that we shall not have finished the process by the time we die. We shall not be perfect then, any more than we are now. And so that patience extends beyond the grave to the day of resurrection and judgment. Being restored. Still with the apostle and his letters. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Verse 3 for connection. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Beyond the grave, to the day of resurrection and judgment, and beyond that. A famous artist, Velázquez, painted himself. The painting never saw the light of day after it was finished until centuries later it was discovered in a basement covered in dirt and too many coats of varnish. As soon as it was discovered and experts decided that it was worth more than it appeared, it was restored. The dirt was removed with expert skill. The varnish, which so adorns self-presentation, was carefully removed. And the real Velázquez appeared, undisguised, clean. Need I say more? Self-worth. If we see ourselves as God sees our worth, is not pride, but thankfulness. So don't feel worthless. Accept the grace of God and His cleansing work. Clear the ground. The approach to Calvary and the cross, which adorned it on that fateful day, was surrounded by and blocked to a certain extent by boulders. And it still is. We tend to grope our way to the foot of the cross, over and around the obstructions which we find as we make our way there, day by day. They'll always be there. Only one man has ever reached the center point of the hill of Calvary successfully. Successfully because he got there not only for himself, but for you and for me. Boulders were not his problem. Scourging, whipping, that crown of thorns could have been his problem, but was simply part of the burden which he shouldered for us. So heavy was that burden that in bearing it he may have stumbled, and certainly it seems did have to lay down the wood of his cross for another to bear. But he made it. God be praised. Let us know our inadequacy. Let us delight in His company. Let us feel His agony, that we may share His victory. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 54. Verse 51 for connection. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Are these words too familiar for us to be impressed by them? So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, and the apostle says those words a second time for emphasis, not because he liked to hear the sound of his own voice. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Let's go to the first letter of John for a moment. Chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Into the prophets. Isaiah, chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory. Old Testament as well. Same message, same wonderful message. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Meanwhile, chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Listen, if you would, to a prepared statement which I have the privilege of reading to you. It's headed Conformable Unto His Death, which is taken from Philippians 3:10, which we won't turn to. But note, please, the unique rendering of the word. We hear much in the scriptures of conforming, but here, slightly different emphasis. It's unique to the Authorized Version. Modern versions lose the benefit, if it is a benefit, of this unique element of the rendering of the word. Conformable. In Bible imagery, the devil is simply a personification of the sin-stricken element of our mortality. And Hebrews 2 is quoted to confirm this, but time forbids us to look. Perfectly obedient to his Father's will, Jesus, who did no sin, by his sacrificial death on the Calvary cross, ensured and began the destruction of the devil. He did so by starving him of his diet of sin, without which he must perish. The devil found nothing in Jesus, who rose from the dead after 3 days and has, down the years, built a great following, his church, of which, by the grace of God, we are members. Jesus, through the gospel records, tells us to take up our cross, Luke adds, daily, and follow him. Why else but so that we may, with God's help, suppress the devil in ourselves, day by day, and so add to his starvation. We strive to conform to our Saviour's standard of obedience, even unto his death on the cross in our service. As we now approach the moment of remembrance, we see a vision of Jesus nailed to his cross. More than any other single unit of the gospel, this vision is by far the most likely thing to make us conformable to his death. Are we conformable people? Or are God's angels having to struggle to enable us to conform? If so, look again at the man on the cross, at the price paid for our redemption. And let us resolve with Paul in Romans 6 to honor our Saviour's sacrifice for us, that sin shall not reign in our mortal bodies, that it shall not have dominion over us. And with Peter, applaud our Saviour. And here we're invited to read, and must do so, from 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Ah, Peter. I go a-fishing, we also come with thee. No fish. A light, a fire on the shore, a man preparing a meal. One of his companions says to Peter, it is the Lord. You know the sequel. Fast forward. After they have brought the catch to land and the net has not broken this time. And listen to the conversation. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yea, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, son of Jonah, are you even my friend? The difference between agape and philia. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed. If we love him, we will feed his lamb and his sheep. And now we remember our Saviour in bread and wine. As we eat and drink, let us feel the presence of the risen Lord very close to us, as he asks each one of us personally, very personally, do you love me? And three times he will press the question. So we examine ourselves.
Hear now our praise, our meditations bless, and may our lives reflect our thankfulness. Hymn 236, Lord, we break his bread in sweet communion.
we recall how John has spoken to us this morning of the great love, the grace that our Father has given to us through Jesus, his Son. Paul writes to those in Corinth, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, he said, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.'" We'll pray for the bread and the wine together. Lord God, our merciful Father, we know since the beginning of creation that something had to be perfect, and only your Son was able to be that perfect lamb that had to be slain for each of us through so many generations. Lord God, we do so thank you for Jesus our Lord. In this bread we remember his body given for us on that cross. We remember the pain and the suffering. And in this wine, his blood spilt for us. Was ever such suffering made? And so we do thank you for these emblems in memory now for our beloved Lord who has done so very much for us. Help us, we pray, in faith in our lives to remember this and to praise you for this grace and love that you have set before us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you went through, doing your Father's will, even for us too. So, Lord God, we take these emblems now, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Take heed. has poured out wine, remember the blood of our dear Lord given for us.
And to conclude with a hymn from the phrase book number 181. Tyrone is going to lead our closing prayer. Then afterwards we're going to have the piece of music which is left on your sheets on the other side there. You raise me up. And we'll just sit, and if you want to join in the singing of that after the prayer, for closing our service there. We've been challenged in so many ways this morning and brought so close to our Lord there. And this hymn is a wonderful one. There's so much which we don't know, but it reminds us of those things which are sure and certain. I cannot tell why he who angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men.
Thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the fellowship that we have shared with you these last 2 days, and for the fellowship we have shared with each other. We know, Father, that we are undeserving of your love and all that you have sacrificed and all that you are doing and have done for us. But once again, Father, we thank you that you are always there for us, watching over us and keeping us safe. Father, as imperfect as we are, we now seek your blessing through your Son, our Saviour Jesus, and ask that the strength we gain from the blessings we receive of you each and every day, that we will have the strength to do your will, whatever that may be, and have the strength to help our brothers, our sisters and our friends, and whoever is in need of your help. We ask, Father, that we will have the strength to follow that light as shown to us by our Saviour, and ask that your blessings will keep our eyes open so that we may follow that path, and our hearts and our ears open, so that we may fully appreciate all that you have to offer and all that you have to give us, so that we may show others less fortunate than ourselves that which they miss. Heavenly Father, we hope that with your blessing, that all that we do, say, and think will be pleasing in your sight. We know, Father, that our only hope of salvation is with your grace. We thank you once again, Father, and we thank you once again for all that you are doing for us and all that you have sacrificed for us through your Son, our Saviour Jesus. We ask this prayer and give you our thanks. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.